Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Thank you, Pastor Moses. Good morning, church. In line with what Pastor was saying, I'm very excited about today's message. Today we are going to talk about why we come to church. And I'm going to explain, maybe the importance of coming to church. And I'm going to explain why I'm excited and yet not quite excited as well. When I first got this message, it seemed redundant to me because I don't know a more faithful group as far as coming to church is concerned. LAT guys are very faithful. You're here every Sunday, you come on Wednesday, you come on Thursdays. So I felt it was, you know, it wasn't relevant to this group. So I told God, I said, you know, these people come to church every Sunday. So it seems kind of pointless for me to go and tell them the importance of coming to church. So I asked him for another message as if I know what, you know, as if I know more than him what, you know, what you guys need to hear. So I kept getting the same message, and at some point I had to allow. So this is really a moment of obedience for me, but also it's showed me that when I'm standing here, it's not about how clever I look or how relevant I think the message is. It's really about God and his message to you. If I'm really just like, you know, like the radio, there's someone speaking on the other end and I'm transmitting the message, but it's never about the actual radio, because if the radio stops working, you replace it. So yeah, it's not about me. I was reminded and I was humbled. So when Pastor Moses was saying everything we do should be about Jesus, he was really kind of speaking to me. So now I'll ask us, I need one or two volunteers to tell us why they come to church. I'll bring the mic to you. You don't have to come to the front. One or two. Please tell us quickly why you come to church.
Praise God. I personally come to church to know more of God and to grow into him.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Alan.
I come to change.
Thank you. Can we clap for them? Thank you very much. Alan has moved me quite a bit. As we've seen, we come to church for different reasons. And today, in our society, it's very easy for us not to come to church physically because we are able to get these sermons on TV and YouTube, and some of them are entertaining, so some of us get more entertained than actually receive the message. I'm a big fan of YouTube, so I would know. And there's a social media catchphrase that says, we don't go to church, we are the church. And so this implies that really church is one person. We are the church, so I don't have to come to church because I'm the church. We are the body of Christ, yes. But the church doesn't imply one, you know, a single individual just going about their Christian business and praising and worshiping. These things are good because we need them as individuals. But the church by nature and even in definition is multiple believers. And the Bible also says, Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. So the church, the body of Christ has a body. If we think about the body, it has arms and legs and a head. And if one of these members were alone, it wouldn't be a body. They'd just be a body part. So when we isolate ourselves from physical church, when I'm talking about church here, I'm talking about LAT, as in coming here to meet, we are standing alone and not being part of a church. And yet there's a biblical and historical pattern that was set for us by the first followers of Jesus. We're going to look at that in Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at how they did church for us to get a guideline of how we should do church as well. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Acts 2, 41 to 47. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So we see in this portion that the original, I call them the original followers of Jesus, because they're the ones who saw him, you know, in the flesh. They would get together to share a community with each other. They would meet from, you know, they would meet together in the temple, but they would also go from home to home. And when these apostles' letters we have, when these letters were written by the apostles, these guys did not have photocopiers, as in they would not make copies of the letters and send to each individual or email them. The church, the congregation would gather in cities, different cities, and have these letters read to them. So they were still gathering, as we can see. So church means getting together with other believers to worship God, to hear the scriptures together, and to encourage one another in faith. Now, encouraging one another means loving one another, instructing one another, being kind and compassionate to one another. And we can't do this at home or on TV or on YouTube with our earphones on, just receiving and receiving. There's no element of church. Yes, you as yourself can be fulfilled, but then you are going away from what was said for us by the first followers of Jesus. So we are going to look at why we actually come to church. I had so many reasons, some serious, some very not, but I'll share a little bit from each category. So we come to church because iron sharpens iron. This is in Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So when we come to church, God uses our interactions with one another to sharpen us. And when I say church, of course there's this element of church, but also think about us meeting in each other's homes, fellowship, even if it's not a formal Sunday service, think about a gathering of multiple believers as church. So in our interactions with one another, God shows us the areas where we need to grow, the areas where we need to repent, the areas we need repair in. And like Alan says, he comes here to grow. So in coming here and hearing the word and talking to one another, we are exposed our insecurities, our weaknesses, our sin, you know. Some of us may not even know that we are walking in sin in a certain area. But when you come to church and you talk to someone else, they are able to point it out. They will not come and accuse you, but just through regular conversation. There are many times just simple conversations have shown me things that I've been praying about, or have given me answers to things that I've been praying about. So in this way, we are sharpened when we meet with fellow believers. We also come to church for communion. Not Holy Communion, but communion as in unity and closeness with our church family. And we, through communion, we learn from each other. We learn what everyone else is learning. Now, if I ask people who have been coming here for the past 2 or 3 months, we've received the same lessons because we sit here for the sermon. So we've received the same lessons. In that way, we've been able to learn together. And in some ways, we are able to grow together. When I first got born again, when I first started walking with Christ, I ended up in a certain group, a certain fellowship. And I didn't know these people. I was taken by a friend, the one friend I knew, and then I think I found a work colleague, and then there were so many other strangers. But we walked together as a group for about 3 years. The Bible study was that long. So we were studying the Bible, and in that process, we got to open up about our lives. People who were single got married, people got children, people got jobs and moved out of home. And we walked through all these things together as a family, as a group. So we were able to grow together. And God did it in a way that we never really left anybody behind. because we used to, I was the secretary of the group, so we used to write down prayer points. And at the end of the 3 years, we went back to look at all the things we had been praying about. And the things that were ticking off were really a testimony about how everyone had moved. We had grown in different and massive ways. And these would not have been able, maybe would not have been able to grow like that if we had been walking individually. But because we're together, you lift each other up. The communion helps us to learn together and to grow together and to move together as a group, as a body of believers. Now, coming to church for me is an opportunity to worship. I worship at home alone. But when I worship at home, it's more emotional for me than... It's really about me, you know, how God has been. The thing is, I feel how God has been with me, like in a physical way. I don't know how to explain it. Like after worshiping, I feel like He was in the room with me, like Jesus had His hand on my head. But when I come here, I don't know if it's because I see many other people. I realize worship is not supposed to be about me and how I, you know, feel and how emotional it is. It's about lifting up Jesus in gratitude for the love He has shown us, in gratitude of the grace, in gratitude of the mercy. And these things I don't quite feel as much when I'm alone. When I'm alone, it's really an emotional affair. So when we have corporate worship, again, this is for me. I don't know if it's the same for other people. When we have corporate worship, it's a reminder that it's not about me. It takes it out of the emotional. It stops appealing to my emotional self and goes beyond that and goes to Jesus where it should go. Now, when we come here also, I don't want to bring in the instruments, but let's be honest, they add something to the worship. Yes, and I don't have instruments at home. So for me, coming to church is an opportunity to really, yeah, to get to the top of the mountain. So thank you, worship team. It's been a great walk. Now, coming to church also helps us have some of life's big questions answered. When we start this walk with God, there are so many questions we have, and I'm sure there are some people who still have questions that haven't been answered yet. The question I get the most is, where did God come from? Because, you know, the Bible says in the beginning there was God, but where did God come from in that beginning? So when you come to church, we have so many of these questions sometimes. And when we come to church, one, we are able to identify people who can help us to answer these questions. For me, coming to church, I'm able to know who, you know, who is like walking firmly in this, you know, in humility, for example. So when I have a question about humility or when I'm struggling in that area, I'm able to go to them and say, look, I see how you're walking humility and I like it. You know, teach me your ways. I'm not giving examples. So, and even we have a Bible study here that's on Wednesdays where people, which is interactive. We get to ask questions and these questions can also be asked. Now, when I'm home, and I'm watching YouTube or I'm watching someone on TV or Mark sends me the audio from the Sunday service, I'm not able to ask these questions because, well, I'll listen, take in, and then what? So I'll have the questions that I don't have, you know, reference to. Yes, we'll go to the Bible and ask, but sometimes we need human experience to answer these things. And this is why community and church community is important for us. Now, the preaching of the Bible at church also helps to set direction for our life. Now, in LRT, I think we've gotten a lot of direction through dreams, corporate dreams and individual dreams as well, because there are times, personally, there are times I've been struggling with something or praying about something and I get a dream and in the dream I'm like told who to go to, you know, who to refer to deal with that thing or to help me to pray about it. Now, my biggest example personally of church setting a direction for our lives, I use these dreams now very much, but I wasn't always like this. 3 or 4 years ago, I used to dream, but I'd forget my dreams and I didn't know that it was a big deal. actually longer than that, maybe 6 years ago, I didn't know that dreams were a big deal in the life of a believer. So I would dream and in the morning I don't remember, life goes on. So I go to this fellowship at Mutundwe. And we were on the prayer mountain and they called people to come and give testimonies. And there was a line from like here to the main road and everyone was just talking about Nalose, Nalose, Nalose. And I was like, what on earth is going on here? So, and they told us the importance of dreams. And that's when I realized I'd been missing out. So I actually started actively praying about it. And the direction I have received through dreams since then makes me sad because I don't know how much I missed in the years before that. Because I would dream and forget. Or even when I'd remember just snippets and I'd be like, it was just a dream. Maybe it's something I was thinking about. But all the direction I've received since then through dreams has shown me that I missed out on so much. And if I had not been, you know, if I had not gone for that fellowship, I'm sure the dreams would have come at some point, but at a later time. So through the gathering, through knowing that other people dream, you know, almost every night, and for them it's a big deal because they receive direction, I was able to be alert to that and pray about it and not miss out, you know, about direction. Now, God does not always speak, that doesn't speak to everyone through dreams. So it's also important for us to identify how God speaks to us. For some people it's dreams, for some people it's audible voice. There are so many different ways. So identify how he speaks to you. Ask him how he speaks to you if you haven't been receiving regular communication. But there is regular communication between us and God. And sometimes we receive this through coming to church, through talking to one another and, you know, the other reasons I've given. Another good thing, you know, good reason to come to church is we make friends. We make like-minded friends. Now, in our world outside church, in our corporate world, we make friends, but they're not always like-minded. There are times we'll have an issue in the office and my solution is biblical, or I'll say, let's pray about this, and people look at me like I've grown horns, like really, this big, it's a big deal and you think praying about it. But for me it works because I've prayed about these things and they've been sorted. But because we are not like-minded, we don't understand each other. Now, when you are walking this walk that we are walking, you need like-minded people to support you. There are many times I've even actually asked God sometimes, I'm like, but do you want me to go through my phone book just so I can find someone to talk to? Because I feel like the people who are my friends will not understand where I'm coming from. So I go to the phone book and I look for the people whose names have L-A-T at the end. Because those are my like-minded people. And then I'll go to their inbox and say, you know, this and this. And it helps me. Now, if you're having difficulty making friends in church, I'll give you a shortcut. There's this InTouch ministry. We have carers. I'm sure how many of us haven't heard about InTouch? Oh, we all have. That's good. Oh, please talk to Rachel at the end of the service if you haven't. So, for me, my carers, I force friendship on them. I will go to your inbox and ask you things. And even after you've stopped, you know, even after I've transferred to someone else, if I still feel like you're the one who will understand this because we talked about it before, so you know the background, I will not go to the current carer because now I have to give them background and context and all these things. I will come back to you. So if you're having difficulty making friends, take advantage of the InTouch ministry. Force friendship on those people. Be in their inbox, call them. And they are nice people. I've never called anyone and they don't have time for me. They use up a lot of their airtime to call me and to talk. So use them, use those friendships and, you know, let church at least benefit from that ministry in this church. Now, coming to church also prepares us for discipleship. Matthew 28:19 instructs us to make disciples of all nations. Now, we can't make disciples of these nations when we are seated in one place. Now, it's easier with social media because people have YouTube channels and you can literally reach so many people. But you also need preparation to be able to reach people in your circles. If we look at our traditional churches, these guys still go on missions. I have a friend, every time I talk to them, they are in Gulu, they are in Dira, they are in all these places making disciples. But I don't think he would be able to do this if he didn't have like a church community backing him up, where he has learnt these things, where he has learnt the word, where he has learnt to encourage these people, because sometimes they're in refugee camps, and personally, I don't think I'm ready to go to a refugee camp, because what am I going to say? I would feel so inadequate. But through training, through church community, you learn how to encourage others. We learn how to share the word relevantly, because if you've walked in town, you know those people who find you in traffic and just ask you, walokoka. So also we know the word, but we have to know how to apply it. You ignore those people. Usually people put their windows up and just drive on. And maybe the person has a good message, but because of the delivery, the mode of delivery, it puts people off. So all these things we learn when we come to church. For me, I have learned these things. I don't know if it's doing the same for you. Now, church has also been a big opportunity for service. We learn to serve, we are able to serve. Romans 12:6 saying, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. We need a platform to use these gifts. And I think the church gathering, the group of believers is a safe place to start practicing these gifts. If you've been called to prophecy and Pastor Moses picks you out to come and prophesy, I will not judge you if you are a little off, because I know that, I'll understand that you're practicing. For me, this has been a good place to practice. And it's also an opportunity for us to operate in our gifts. Now, when we get born again, we become a member of the body of Christ. And for a church body to function properly, all the members, all the body parts, let's call them body parts, have to be present and working. Now, I noticed this in our churches, but I'll use the context of this church. I didn't ask permission, but I'll use the Iso case as an example. Sam sometimes leads service here. Sam is on the in-touch ministry. Sam and his wife host the marriage fellowship. Now, his wife, Joanne, is in charge of the children's church. She leads Thursday service, and she preaches here sometimes. We see that sometimes it's a small group of people that are doing 80% of the work in the church. Yet we have other church members. Now, I'm not saying this to guilt us into serving, but the Bible also says the workers are few. So we should use this as an opportunity to ask God where we can increase the workforce to be able to serve in the church. Now, it's not a bad thing to serve in many ministries. But sometimes I feel, this is just me, Joanne didn't send me. Sometimes I feel bad for Joanne because she didn't attend service, because she's always in the children's church. And I know that if she had more people to help her, she would also like to be up here. So if we offered ourselves, and sometimes we don't know our gifts, I appreciate that. But there are things we know that we are good in. You may not know your gift, but you know that you're good with children, so you may be able to help. Or you know that you're good with admin work, so you would be able to help Rachel so that she can take leave. I don't know if that applies in church. So we can offer our services. And actually, in that kind of work, in offering ourselves, sometimes is when we discover what we are called to do. Because you'll help in admin, help here and help there, and then eventually you'll find your niche. So let's offer ourselves, to lighten the work for the people who are doing the work. Not that they are complaining, but it would be nice, I think. Yeah. So we are part of the congregation, not only to keep receiving from the people who are serving, but to also be able to serve them and to be able to serve the church as a whole. Now, coming to church, I think also encourages our pastor and our leaders. Yes, and it encourages the worship team. I can't imagine what it feels like to stand here and see your church reduce in size Sunday after Sunday. And we know that this is only for a season, but at some point I was like, God, should we take a break and come back when the season is done? But Pastor Moses is here every Sunday. And I think even if there were two people, for him, the service would go on. Because sometimes when the service is starting, the chairs are really empty, and I'm like, Vanange, this takes a strong heart. So while I'm encouraging us to come to church, I'd also like to encourage us to come on time, to encourage the people who stand here and look at the empty chairs. So there's a verse in Philippians where Paul was thanking God for the church, and he was making requests for them. And it's in that scripture, you see him being, he's like so fond of his church. I think they are like his family. I don't know if he looks at them like his children. He's so proud of them. And I felt like it brought joy to his heart. Now, when Pastor Moses writes the word for the week and thanks Juliana and her team for coming here and thanks God for us paying the rents, I feel like he's encouraged. Now, it gives him an opportunity to thank us, yes, but he also thanks God for us. So in our coming here, in encouraging our leaders, we also give them an opportunity to glorify God, which is really why we come here. Now, if we don't come here, if it were a leader like me, I would go to God and say, but God, and then I would whine and I would whinge for him, and I don't think there's any glory in that. So let's keep coming to give them an opportunity to, you know, give God the glory. Now, coming to church for me has also helped me to find godly mentors in this place. There are many people who have walked the road we are walking, and they are miles ahead of us. Now, the importance of and the relevance of mentorship is that these people have made the mistakes we are likely to make in our walk. So they will see when these mistakes are coming for us, and they are able to warn us. So we can avoid them, we can resist them. They have wisdom, they have insights which we don't have, and we've talked about this before, about, you know, finding older people who can talk to us. Now, the mentor may not be necessarily older in age, but they are older in the walk with Christ, they are older in salvation. So they've struggled with the things you're struggling with, and even when you feel like, you know what, I should stay to myself because, man, the things I'm dealing with, these things, I don't think I should be showing up at church. This person, the mentors I'm talking about, know them. And it may not be one person per se. You may have two or three different people. Again, pray to God to reveal those people to you who you should go to. But these people are able to help you, to strengthen you in your walk, to make you realize that you're not alone in the things you're struggling with. So, like I said, while for me, I have taken a really big advantage of the in-touch ministry. So I may not go and say, oh, this person is my mentor, but I know that when I'm struggling with someone, I'll go to them and say, you know what, pray for me in this area. Maybe I have even failed to pray for myself. I've tried for like 2 weeks and I feel like there's no connection. So pray with me. Now, Titus 2 talks about mentorship and God's plan, and it talks about the older men and women walking alongside the younger ones to train them in godliness. So this is our opportunity to learn from the people in the church. This is our opportunity to learn from the leaders, from the people we found here in LAT. You know, pick their brain. There's always something to learn. On the other hand, it's also an opportunity for you to mentor someone else. So you're not only receiving. There are people who may look up to you and how you're walking. Yes, they may not know that you're also, you know, a fellow struggler. So with time, they'll realize that. But you can help bring someone up, help them avoid the struggles, and help them avoid learning the lessons the hard way, the way you learned them. It's always good to bring someone else up. So coming to church, being in a church community helps us to identify these things. Now, if you're in need of mentorship, I'm not going to, you know, be like those mega churches where they say, we have a mentorship program, there's so and so and so. Go to God, ask him. For me, this has worked for me. I actually ask God, I'm struggling with this. I need an answer. And then sometimes I'll just be having a random conversation with Joanne and she'll say something and I'll be like, oh, this is what I needed. And then I'll latch on to that and I will abuse the relationship. So, coming to church has helped me to really study the Bible. The fellowship I talked about earlier was called Investigative Bible Study. Now, we started as really freshers. I don't think I'd ever read the Bible outside church. But that fellowship, that program, would give you like exercises, weekly exercises. So I started reading the Bible and I started seeing it in a way that I had never seen it before because we were encouraged to apply it to ourselves. Now, I've been to many churches. I think LAT is the one church where you're kind of pruned into reading the Bible, whether you want to or not. So I have done a lot of Bible reading lately. And there are things you think you know. You read a whole portion and you have the answer to, you know, you have it in your hands. And then you come for fellowship and someone else talks about it and they dismantle it for you. And you're like, hey, so this can be looked at like that. This is all learning the Bible. Then sometimes I'll be reading, say, Samuel or Kings. I'm reading Samuel and I'm saying, after Samuel, I'm going to read Kings. And I'm looking for something, for an answer. And then the answer is in Acts. And I don't know, because me, I want to read my Bible and get the answer. And then one Sunday we are here and someone is preaching and they talk about that portion and you have your answer. And then now I'll know that, you know what? I'm not going to I don't have to read the Bible in order. You guys, this thing of reading the Bible in order messed me up when I'd just gotten born again. It really messed me up because I felt like if I don't read it in order, I'm not reading it, I'm not going to get the word. But now it's okay to be reading Psalms and the Spirit takes you to Matthew and you first put Psalms on the side. It is okay. It is the word of God and where it is all relevant. So don't feel like, man, I haven't finished Acts, I'm not doing well. And then for some of us who make lists and like to tick off, it really messes with us. Now, if you have children coming to church with the children, helps them to learn to value God and to value the church as a community. When I first came to LAT, actually, I came for my kids. I was looking for a church. I'd gone everywhere and I'd kind of given up. But I was like, okay, you know, if I can't find a church, at least let me take my kids somewhere. So I decided to come here for the children's church. So I take the kids there and I come up here and I like it. So it worked for me in the end. But initially it was for the kids. Now, there's a time my son, I have two children. My eldest son asked me if it was normal to cry during worship. So I asked him what happened and said, today we were worshiping and there were tears in my eyes. And, you know, he said all these things and I was really, really touched. But the biggest thing for me was, for me, crying during worship happened in my adulthood, way, way, way into my adulthood. And for him, he's experiencing this at this age. So what is he going to be experiencing when he's my age? If I had had doubts about bringing kids to church, for me, that was it. And then there's a lady here who, every time she sees my younger son, she says, "Ha, that boy can pray in tongues." Now, I pray with these boys at home. We read the Bible, but I've never seen these things at home. So I've never had my son speak in tongues. I've never seen him cry during worship. So if I needed another reason to come to church, for me, this was it. So bring your children to church. They will grow up this way. And another thing that we need to like realize for us, the parents, our children also learn through by example. It's easy to tell your child, go to church every Sunday, go to church. But if you're not going to church, they will learn from you. My son recently was writing a book about me, a one-page book. And it started with, there was a lady who lived here and had two children. And the first sentence ended with, and she loved God. Now, I have never told my son that, you know what, I love God. We read the Bible, we pray, we talk about these things, but I've never actually come out and said I love God. But I felt like that maybe from the way I've been living, from the way he sees me living, he figured that, you know what, my mother loves God. And it showed me that these children are watching. We don't know it because, well, it had never crossed my mind. I've never done anything to intentionally done anything to make him think that. But from how I've been living, he says, he has seen that I try, you know, I'm striving for God. And Luke 6:40 says the student will become like his teacher. It does not say the student will become like the teacher teaches him to be. It does not say the student will become like the teacher instructed him. It says the student will become like his teacher. So if you have people looking up to you and you want them to learn, this is about coming to church but also other things generally, teach them through example. It will be hard for you to tell your son at 16 that, you know what, alcohol is not good for you. When you drink alcohol, you make bad decisions. From when he was young, he has seen you drink alcohol on a daily. It will be like, okay, yeah, but, well, it was okay for my father. It will be okay for me. So let's look ahead. Now, we may look at them now. We think they are young. You know, sometimes they make noise in church and we leave them at home because they are an inconvenience. But, you know, I when I first came to LAT, I had, my son was really young and we used to sit at the back. And in all fairness, it was inconveniencing because I would want to worship and then he's pulling my dress and then he wants to go downstairs and then, but now we've outgrown it. Time has come and now he goes down there and sits there and he doesn't disturb me anymore. And I didn't miss out anything by coming with him. So bring the children to church. Let them learn to value God and teach them by example. Now, if you don't have kids and you're single, church is also a nice place to meet people. Andrew has heard me. Yes. But, of course, this doesn't always work like that. But it doesn't hurt, you know, to meet people. But bearing in mind that church is also a hospital for broken people. So when you meet someone at church, don't expect them to be perfect. I've had people have this issue many times. I met a girl at church. She was on the worship team. But I discovered she's not what I thought she was. All of us here are actually here because we are broken. Because we have been broken, we are in the process of being repaired. Jesus is fixing us day by day. So when you meet someone at church, do not expect perfection. They are still human. We are still living in this world. So have that in mind. Yes, you can mentor them. Pastor says you can mentor them. Or you take them to the people who have been married for some time and you say, this person here, Bambi, don't do that. Okay, and church for me has also been an opportunity to give. One, it avails channels for us to give. There are times you have things to give, things as in material things, clothes and etc. And you don't know where to start. And then you're at church and they say, oh, we have this mission, we are going here in July, please bring things. And for me, that is, you know, a channel for that. But on a bigger scale, for many of us, we are not born to easily give. You know, it's easier for human beings to take than to give. I'm one of those people, so I'm speaking from experience. Giving was never an easy thing for me. And this is right from tithe down to giving fellow people. So now, when I came to church, I struggled with tithe for a while. And then, you know, they'll send you to the scriptures and you say, but it's in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't say we have to tithe. And then there's also the issue of, is it gross? Do we tithe on the gross or do we tithe on the net? And then, okay, if I'm going somewhere and someone gives me money and it's for my transport, do I also tithe on that? All these things. We have many questions. Now, that was sorted for me. I said, you know what? It's all God's money, really. So whether I mean tithe on more than the gross, it is all his money, and really, it's okay. Let him take it. For me, that one was demystified. Now it came to giving fellow man. And then we have excuses. Man, I'm struggling. You know, I'm a single father. I don't have that kind of money. But I have learned that you guys, we can always give, no matter what situation we are in. And if you're struggling with giving, pray about it. For me, it was not easy. First, I met a couple. I have a friend and her husband are, I think, natural givers. I used to look at these people and I'd be like, but these guys, how do they do it? So I asked her, like, how much do you people earn? You're always quick to give. You tell her, hey, Vanange, tomorrow is my son's birthday. She gives you a 50,000. Tell her, oh, today my car, my tire, she gives you money. So eventually, as I said, but you, how much do you guys, does your household make? And she said, no, but me, I live day to day. I mean, we ask for daily bread. And if I have today's bread, I will give away the rest. And I was like, okay, this is new for me. I still struggled. So I actually prayed about it. I fasted about it. The Bible says to give. And I wasn't giving. So I knew there was something that was amiss. And now when God gave it to me, he gave it to me in excess. And I'm really, really happy about it. I don't regret when I give. That time I would give, and then the next day when I'd be broke, I'd say, but when I get that money I gave away yesterday, it would have helped me today. And I think this is human, so we shouldn't feel bad if we are like that. But now I give, and I have no regret, and I have no remorse. And if the next day I don't revisit yesterday, I'm like, you know what? God will provide for what I need, because I have seen his hand of provision. So for me, church has taught me how to give, and it is an opportunity to give. If, you know, I feel, sometimes you feel like giving, but you have no one around you, I come and give in church. Don't come after and say, I'm here, please come and give. Yeah, but of course also in giving, we should also pray to give as the Spirit leads. Now, coming to church encourages us in our walk with God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, we are encouraged through testimonies, through praying for each other. And while you're receiving encouragement through people's testimonies, please also come and share yours so that you can encourage someone else. There are many times I have, you know, they call people to testify and I'm like, oh, I go, oh, I don't go. I'm like, you know, then I don't. And then later, you hear someone, like 2 weeks later, someone says, 2 weeks ago I was struggling with this and this. And then I realized that at that time, you know, that was a time I felt the urge to go and testify and I didn't go. And yet what they were struggling with is in line with something I wanted to testify about. So whenever you feel like testifying, even if you feel it's silly, just come and testify. You never know who you're touching. You never know whose prayer you're answering in testifying. You don't know who you're encouraging. So coming to church through these testimonies, through praying for each other, I've been able to learn what God is doing in our church locally, what God is doing in, you know, that Uganda, the church in Uganda. And because we are here in LAT, it's easy for me to think of the church as LAT. When I'm praying for the church, I pray for LAT. Before I came to LAT, I never used to pray for the church in Uganda because for me I didn't think it impacted me. So I would pray for the small community where I am. But now I know that it's bigger than this building. It's bigger than the few people here. And we have to pray for the church worldwide, you know. Now, coming to church has also been an opportunity for me to introduce friends who don't know Christ. Now, there are times I'm praying for my friends and God puts it on my heart to minister to someone. But truth be told, sometimes we have nowhere to begin with, to begin from with some people. So you look at the person, you look at yourself and you say, now God, what kind of words am I going to use? Now for me in those situations, I invite them to church because I know if I feel inadequate, at least that someone will touch something. I'm like, God, I'm bringing them to church. You prepare that someone in line with what you wanted to tell them. So for me, it has been an opportunity to invite people who don't know Christ. Now, I also have friends who know Christ but don't come to church. Now, I know the benefits of coming to church, so I try to encourage them to come to church. And, of course, that's, you know, inviting them here. Sometimes I have to offer rides. You know, they'll say, I don't have a car. I can't Uber to church every Sunday. I say, okay, it's okay. I'll pick you. Of course, that's if you're in my environment. So encourage people to come to church with you. Don't benefit alone. Bring someone else to benefit as well. Now, church allows for support in times of need. And this is not only when we are in financial need. Usually when we say we are in need, we think material. There are many times I have been in need of a word. There are many times I have been in need of encouragement. There are many times I have come to church feeling like, you know, today I shouldn't have gone to church. It's pointless because I have my reasons. And then I come and I sit and I'm sulking because I know that really, Carol. And then someone stands here to share a testimony or even the sermon. And then it hits directly at me, at those things that I'm struggling with or the word I needed. Or even these, like the in-touch ministry. I'm talking about in-touch because that's the formal, like, system we have. But there are so many informal ways we can also stay in touch with each other. Maybe pastor is your in-touch carer. And for you, pastor is up there. How do I tell pastor that I'm struggling with alcohol when Vanangi on Sunday he called me to preach. So you fear to approach pastor, you can go to someone else. So for me, this has been an opportunity to get support. I don't know if I've been able to give support actually. In this area, I think I'm a leech because I keep sucking and sucking. But I know that I would not have grown to the point that I am now without this community of LAT, and I thank God for it every day. And it's been a big deal. So use your church community, please. Do not be afraid. People who have dealt with pastor also say he's a parent, he's nice. So if you're fearing him because he's up there, take their word for it and approach pastor or anybody else. Now, coming to church for me has kept me out of trouble in major, major, major ways. And that's why when Alan said something, I became very emotional because I knew what he was talking about. There are many times that I'm in a place where, not place physically, place emotionally, mentally, and I'm about to do things or I'm about to get into things, and the one thing that stops me, the one thing between me and sanity is, you know what, Carol, you'll never forgive yourself if you stumble someone who sees you doing this. Because I have friends who know I'm born again, I have friends who have seen the change in me, so sometimes when I'm about to, you know, to sleep, I'm like, but Carol, those people, you know, you're going to give them one more reason to say, ah, church people, tuakoa. And that is the one thing that holds me together. There are other times I'm also about to do, you know, to fall into something, and then I'm like, how will you be able to stand in front of the congregation and tell them not to do this when you're doing it? How will you be able to tell people, walk like this, when you yourself are not walking like that? So for me, coming to church has kept me out of trouble. And it may be the wrong motivation, because I think our motivation should be God, but maybe that's how God works motivation in my life. I look at my church, I look at where I have come from, and I say, no, this cannot be happening to me. I should be older than this, older in terms of mentally and psychology, all these things. I'm like, no, I should be more than this. So it has kept me out of trouble. And the past two or three years have been like a continuous testimony for me. Now, I keep praying to God that he will directly be my motivation more and more. But while I'm waiting on him for that, I am happy with the church keeping me out of trouble. I'm happy with the church being my testimony that, you know what, I could easily have done this, but I can't do it because I have church people who might be looking up to me, who might say, you know what, Carol does this, it's okay. Maybe it's okay for believers to do this. So it has kept me out of trouble. It's a very, very big testimony for me. And I don't know if it has done the same for other people. And in that regard, it also helps it has helped me to know that our leaders are not perfect. And that's why when sometimes I stand here, I'm very open about my life. Because when people stand here and preach and they talk about scripture and they talk about the things God is doing in their lives, we look at them like, wow, you know, for her, she has everything figured out. She has everything together. But we are all on a journey, you guys. Some people may be ahead of us in some fields, but in some other fields, we are ahead of them. So do not look at anyone and think, my God, this one is perfect. This one is ready for heaven. So that's why I like transparency, because I know that there are people who look at me and say, hey, Bambi, you're preaching. Wamalayo. No, I have not. I'm not even close. So keep coming to church. Keep growing, and it will help you stay out of trouble. On a lighter note, for some of us, church is an opportunity for us to dress up. Now, for us who don't have a lot of proggy outside church, this is our window to go all out. Seriously though, no, Juliana will not say that. Seriously though, I've come from a place where I used to dress up for everything else except church. When it would be Sunday, I would think, ah, it's church, who cares? And I would dress, as they call it, to whom it may concern. Now, God started dealing with me in this, and it seemed like a very small area of my life. And if someone had told me that God had dealt with them in that area, I wouldn't have believed them. But if you think about it, Sunday, I have an appointment here with Jesus. And if I knew that Jesus was going to be here physically, seated at the front row, would I dress to whom it may concern? No. I would pull out my Sunday best, actually, because I want to impress Jesus. He's seeing me one day out of the week. Is that the day I'm going to come dressed like, you know, I didn't have electricity, so I didn't bother with ironing, so let me just go. It's church. So with time, I have learned to value this time. And now actually, as I dress up in the morning, this may not sound serious, but for me it is because of where I've come from. As I dress up for church, I actually ask myself, is this something I'd wear if they told me, you know, I'm going to an event where someone I admire is going to be? Maybe if they told me Michelle Obama is going to be at this event, would I dress like this? And if the answer is no, I'm not coming to church like that, because that means I'm giving God less. You know, I'm thinking, it's just church. I'm not going there for anyone to look at me. So let me just put on what I want. No. So for me now, church is also an opportunity to dress up. So pick it up if you've been struggling in that area. And then the biggest reason we should come to church is because the Bible, which is God's word, says so. If you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Hebrews says we shouldn't give up assembling ourselves together. We saw in Acts that these guys used to meet every day. They used to meet every day. They used to encourage each other. They used to meet for the reading of the scriptures. We should also do the same. Now, the biggest excuses I get, I call them excuses because that's what they are, for people not coming to church, they say church has hypocrites. But if you want to run away from hypocrites, I think you'll have to end your life, because they are there outside church as well. They are there at your workplace. They are there if you go to the movies, they are there at the cinema. We have corruption in government, so you'll have to like go and live in another planet if you want to run away from hypocrites. So they are everywhere. And I'm not saying, church should have hypocrites. No, but we are all on a journey. Like I said, we are all here for healing. And then people say, but you know, the pastors use the tithe to buy a new car every year, and new shoes every month. And then some people in the congregation don't even have school fees. Now, there are also those ones where they'll abuse you going to church. Again, go back to God and ask Him where you should be worshiping. But even while you're waiting for God to show you, find somewhere. I'll not say don't give your tithe. I don't know. But find somewhere to worship. Find somewhere to hear the word. Now, for me, when I'd failed to find a church, I said, okay, I'll just go to this church for the kids, because they told me it had a good children's church. I said, you know what? I'll take the kids there while I wait for God to direct me. And I've not left since then. So, yes, church will have hypocrites. Church will have people who gossip behind our backs. Church will have people who steal from us. Because, you know, there are times I've gone for a fellowship and they keep saying on the mic, you guys, watch your bags. Yes, all these people are in church, but they are also everywhere else. So if we are going to use that as an excuse, then we need to disappear, because we cannot run away from these things. But we also need to appreciate that we are here because we are broken. If we were perfect and we were not broken, we would not need to come to church. We would not actually need Jesus, but that's why we are here. That's why we run after Jesus every day. We are chasing Him because we want repair, because we want mending. So drop the excuses and come to church. Tell those people who give you those excuses that, hey, those things you're running away from at church are everywhere. Even at work, you'll get someone who'll gossip about you. Even at work, you'll get someone who'll steal from you. Are you going to leave the job? No, you're probably just going to be more careful with your bag, or stop moving with money in your bag, because you know that the person you share an office with is a thief. So if you're worried that they're going to steal your stuff at church, just come with offertory. Put it in your pocket or give it to Rachel at the beginning of service. And, you know, be relaxed, because you're not worried about being stolen from anymore. Now, going to church may not be, in our day now, we don't look at it as a requirement. And you will not miss heaven if you don't congregate with people. But it's as a people who are building blocks. You know, we have a cornerstone, we are the building blocks. As a people who are the building blocks, our lives are intertwined. We are connected. And this connection comes alive when we actually congregate. I cannot be, one tile for a floor and I go and stand there out alone. There'll be a gap here. So we have to join with the other tiles, to join with the other building blocks for us to actually build up something for Christ. So it is important that we come to church. And the Word of God says we should come to church. Now, I'm not saying that we should go to a particular church. I'm not sending us to a particular denomination. I'm not saying, you know, the Anglican church has these advantages over the whatever church. No, I'm simply challenging us to gather with other believers regularly. Come here on Sunday, or there are people who have cells in their homes. Those are also gatherings. So it may not be that you have to come for the Sunday service, the formal service. But if you're here and this is your church, come for Sunday service. If you're here and this is your church, come for Bible study. If you're here and this is your church, come for, you know, for the Thursday fellowship. For me, I actually feel like I miss out, because for the longest time, I felt like I benefited a lot more from the Thursday prayer meeting than I did here. But then, well, children and school pickups and drops, I had to go without it for a while. So now I learned to tap into this because it's the only one that I can come for. And I really, by the time I miss, then it's out of, you know, it's beyond me. And remember to invite other people. Remember to encourage other people to come. I don't know why this message was for us today, considering we are church people, but God is never irrelevant, so I know that it is relevant. I have to keep reminding myself that I'm just a vessel, so I shouldn't feel unclever when I have to preach something that I feel doesn't apply. So I pray that God will stir in our hearts a desire to grow in communion, to grow in fellowship with one another, that we will not give up meeting like the Bible has asked us. We will not give up meeting. We will not give up encouraging one another. We will not give up reading the scriptures. That we will find time to read these scriptures at home, alone, yes, but we'll also come to church because we learn a lot more when we are in a community. We learn a lot more from what people have gone through before us, and I pray that we will take advantage of those opportunities, take advantage of the church community, take advantage of LIT and all your other smaller gatherings at home or in your other fellowships to glorify God's name and to continue to seek Him. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.